Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's been a long road. I don't know where it's gonna take me. Oh no, I got faith in my fans, my loved ones, my block, my people. Sort of, it's a struggle. You just gotta keep up, keep walking, keep your eyes on the prize. The other foot in front of you. Never know where life will take you, man. Ride with you.
Back in the 70s, Dad jumped a boulder. A little earlier, my grandma raised a daughter. A beautiful thing, she was a ghetto flower. Caught a young man's attention with her power. It was love at first sight, I saw she thought. But a couple months later, he left her with a broken heart. Young and naive, only 17. About to have a young mouth to feed. Head down, she could feel the shame. A couple months later, labor pains. She looked down in her new son's eyes. A flashy smile, as big as the skies. Pops gave her being a man to try. Worked as a mechanic, mama of a Burger King. Meanwhile, late at night, she was studying. She did a thing.
Good evening. Hi, everyone. How are you doing? And welcome back to our show. My name is Charlie Alejandro, and you are listening to The Ordinary Woman, Diamond in the Rough Show. We have some incredible shows coming up for you, but tonight we're going to actually be talking to Lily Moore. Lily Moore is an actor, writer, and just an incredible young man that we're going to be talking on the show in a few minutes, and I know you're going to really enjoy listening to what he has to share with us. I'm really excited about next week, too, just to let you know real quick. Monday, October the 5th, we're going to have Natalie Gerardo Martinez coming to us directly from Miami. Amazing woman. She got diagnosed with lupus a few years ago, and she decided that she wasn't just going to lay down and take it. She decided she was going to fight the disease, but not with a negative attitude. She decided to stay positive. She's amazing. She has 3 children. She's real active in her community. One of the things she really wanted to focus on was letting people know about the disease and ways to overcome it and help their loved ones. Wednesday, we have Chris Damley. He's going to be on the show. Amazing young man who's overcome some disabilities in the past. And just amazing how he manages to say, you know what, yeah, I have a disability, but it doesn't matter. I'm still going to get around. I'm still going to be active, and I'm still going to do things. Once you hear some of the things that he's done in the past and some of the things that he hopes to accomplish, it's going to really make us feel like, really? And I'm complaining about what I'm complaining about. Friday show next week, Shelly Nunchuck Finnegan is going to be on. You're going to have the ride of your life. She's funny. She's an actress. She's a martial artist. She does her own stunts. And she will have you laughing your butt off when we get her in here because she's just so funny and so down to earth. I actually had the opportunity to work with her on actually this whole weekend. It was kind of funny. We were actually doing a movie together. And we did some prep work on Saturday. Here I was thinking, okay, we're going to go on set, and now we're going to, you know, just go through our lines and all this other stuff. Nope, not the case. They had us doing choreography for fight scenes. They had us doing choreography for some dance routines, and it was a really good time. And then Sunday, we actually got to hang out with our friend Bill McLean. He's making a great movie called Scooter Magruder. We're actually going to have him on the show later this month, actually in October. Great, it was a great script. I got the opportunity to read it last year, and he finally made it happen with the support of his wife and some great friends. And what a professional set. I have to keep commenting on it because of the fact that I've been on a lot of sets, you know, big money sets, small sets, independent sets, but they did not fool around. I think they got us done within a couple of takes. And it was just great to get in here, and we had a lot of fun. Amazing talent. They're actually located in Maine. And I have to tell you, I think I'm going to be busy for about a month trying to get as many of the people that were on that set on the show because they were just funny and talented and just a great bunch of people. In the chat room, I would like to welcome Mountain Man. How are you? I hope things are going good. Hanging in there, and I'd like to share a little tidbit for those of you that are not familiar with the New England area. The film industry has been growing a lot in our area right now, and right now in Boston, they're actually filming a big budget movie called Wichita, tentatively titled Wichita with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And they are actually getting ready to do some amazing stunts in the downtown Boston area. So if you're not familiar with it, you might want to Google it. And I'm really happy because of all the business it's bringing into the area. But just the fact that, I don't know how many times I've said it, just driving through Route 93 when you hit the Zakum, an amazing visual, and that they're actually going to be using it in a movie, I'm really psyched because I'm proud of being from Boston, and I think driving cars through the tunnel are going to be awesome. It's just like wicked awesome, and I can't wait for it to happen. Willie's going to be joining us in a little while. Just waiting for him to call in. So one of the other things I'd like to share with you is we have Joe White. He's going to be here actually on Friday, October 16th. Another amazing young man wrote a script. He's making it happen. Very funny. The script has a lot of inside Boston things, but I'm sure that the people in general will get it. It's a very funny script. I happen to really enjoy reading it, and I'm really excited about waiting to see it actually on the big screen. So while we're waiting for Willie, I will give you my thoughts. It's today's Wednesday, so I'm going to call it my Wishful Wednesday. Wishful Wednesday is a time for you to think about what is it exactly that you want to do in your life. I know you hear that a lot, and after a while, people get tired and say, you know, I'm tired of people asking me what I want to do with my life. So if you're tired of people asking you, maybe it's time you ask yourself. And when I ask you what you want to do with your life, everybody always assumes that we're talking about these big plans, like becoming an A-list movie star or coming up with an invention that cures cancer, or maybe writing a best-selling book. But that's not exactly what it's all about. Asking you on Wishful Wednesday what you want to do with your life is in a way of making you think of ways of things that you want to do that make you happy. What actually makes you happy? And it's kind of funny because a lot of people say, well, you know, life isn't just about always being happy. But actually it is, because I'm not a scriptarian by any sense of the imagination, but I do love reading the Bible, and I know somewhere in there it very clearly says that man like me, that they might have joy. And I know somewhere in the Bible it also says that the Lord's telling us that it wasn't going to be easy to come here, but it was going to be worth it. But the only reason it's not easy is because we're the ones that make it hard at times, because we think that if something is too easy, then it's not really worth it. Or we sometimes think that things are out of our realm. So the reality is, you have to think to yourself, what are some of the things that I would like to do that would make me happy? I know for Mountain Man, one of the things that he says that would make him very happy is being co-host. And I think actually that's something that's going to be happening in the near future. So I'm a one-woman show, and it's kind of boring when I'm a one-woman show. I actually have him. He's actually my guru in the chat room. He makes sure he welcomes everybody and lets them know what's going on. Real quick, Alice Canty, welcome to the chat room. Nice of you to stop by. So going back to Wishful Wednesday, when we talk about doing things that makes us happy, it doesn't have to be just a wish. We can make it happen. It's a matter of deciding, are we going to make ourselves happy? Well, we're always going to be so busy trying to do everything that everybody else wants us to do. And it's not selfish to take care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, because I know for me, for years I didn't do that. For years I was too busy just taking care of the whole world, and I wasn't taking care of myself. Now that I'm doing that, that I do take care of myself, I notice that I'm happier, I'm more patient, people around me notice that my attitude is better. And the funny thing that I found out, that the more I changed for the better, the more the people around me changed for the better. And that's a funny thing we discover when we start taking care of ourselves. So on this Wishful Wednesday, I'm going to challenge you to do three things. The first thing I want you to do is make a list of three things that you think will make you happy. The second thing is for you to actually take action on at least one of them. If running through, I don't know, if running a race would make you happy, go out and take a walk. Trust me, that little five-minute walk is the best way to get started. A few years ago, I actually ran a half marathon, and it all started with running around my block. And I am not going to lie to you, I thought I was going to have a heart attack when I ran around the block because I was so out of shape. And mentally, I just wasn't fit to do it. But when I finally did it, I felt like I had just conquered the biggest mountain, and it was like a lot of negative things just melted away from me. So that's what you need to do. Take a step. And the third thing is put your wish somewhere where you can see it every day and every morning and remind yourself, this wish will make me happy. And then right underneath it, I will make this wish a reality. So that's the things I'm going to leave you with on Wishful Wednesday. And now I think Willie's on the air, so hold on 1 second and we'll get him in here.
Hello?
Willie, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Very good. Welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
Doing very well.
That's excellent. Just wanted to real quick check in the chat room and make sure that everybody's up and running. So, Willie, I am so glad that you agreed to be on the show. So I'm just going to kind of interrogate you in a nice way and ask you a million questions for you to share with our viewers.
Okay.
So you have been modeling and acting since what age?
17.
17. And how did you get started in that?
Actually, when I was in high school, a lady actually came to my school for career day. She
mm-hmm.
ended up being a modeling agent out of Worcester, and me and her talked, but her price was too steep, so she sent my name around to a few other agencies. So I was signed with... Go ahead.
Really? So you were basically in the school, and she came there for career day and just kind of walked up to you and said, hey, I think I can do something with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we had made eye contact a few times during her segment, and afterwards she, me and her talked afterwards. And the same day I went up to her agency and we spoke, but her price was too steep, so she sent my name around. And at first I was signed with John Casablancas, which wasn't
mm-hmm.
probably the smartest decision. Really
excellent.
Wasn't. Yeah.
So you had never done this before?
Nope. I mean, people had always told me that maybe I should do it, but I never really
mm-hmm.
took it that seriously.
Really?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. So you said that other people had commented to you about doing it, but you had never taken it serious. So if it hadn't been for this lady coming up to you, you don't think you would have done it?
Honestly, probably not, to be honest. But now that I'm in it, like, I love it.
I know. I noticed that I was actually on your Facebook account, and I was looking at a couple of your pictures. Very nice poses. You seem very comfortable in front of the camera.
Yes.
Now, was it difficult for you at first to be comfortable with posing and all that kind of stuff, or did you kind of feel like other people might have had more of an advantage over you, or was it just a natural thing for you?
It was just natural. Like, I've always, like, enjoyed taking pictures and things of that nature. So
you were a ham.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit. So what are some of the ads that you've done or some of the work that you've done as a model? Do you do print work or do you do runway? What's that exactly you do?
I haven't actually done print work yet. I've taken some runway classes and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually
mm-hmm.
In a fashion show at Foxwoods Casino on October 30th.
Mm-hmm. On October 30th? Uh-huh.
Yes. So this is my first actual big show for modeling.
Now, what is that for?
Foxwoods Casino.
So it's actually a casino, but is it like a benefit or is it a fashion show? What exactly is it that they're doing that night?
It's like a Halloween fashion show. Like, we encourage the guests to come in costumes, which you don't have to particularly.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, throughout the show, we're doing actually a tribute to Michael Jackson. We're actually walking to Michael Jackson's songs, doing different things of that nature.
Oh, really? That sounds awesome.
Yes.
So are you excited about the show? A little nervous?
Say again?
Are you nervous about the show, or is this something you're really looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, now I need to ask you a couple other questions, too, now. You're 20 years old now.
Yes.
And you're a junior in college.
Yep.
Okay, but that would seem, most people would say, well, what's the big deal about that? But you also happen to be the father of a 2-year-old child, right?
Yes.
Okay, now, I was in the same situation. I had my first son very young. So I need to ask you, what motivated you to stay in school instead of saying, you know, I'm going to go out and work a million hours, take care of it? What actually motivated you to say, you know, I need to do this? And was having a child a bigger incentive for you to stay in school?
Well, I'd already planned on going to different colleges. Actually, every college that I applied to, I actually did get accepted to. But then I had my son my senior year, so I figured I'd stay here to be closer to him. So, I mean, another reason why I actually have no choice but to stay in school is to make it better for him. So he can go to school, like, after when he gets older and things of that nature. So I can be like, okay, I had you at 17 years old, but I still went to school, finished my degree to make life better for you.
Right. So that was more of an incentive for you as opposed to, like, I know I've actually known some people that say, well, you know, I have a kid, I can't go to college, I got to go work or whatever. So that actually motivated you even more.
Yes.
And you, what are you majoring in?
Right now, graphic design.
Okay, and what do you plan to do with that? I mean, I know what graphic design is, but what do you see yourself doing in the future as far as?
I would like to get into more of the marketing field a little bit more. So I have taken marketing classes, but I'll also eventually like to start my own business to do graphic work for like different companies and things of that nature.
Right.
I also expand far within graphic design. I'm also know how to do websites and logos, letterheads, business cards, along the sorts of those lines.
Right.
Yep.
Now, Willie, what has been your driving force? Because I know that somewhere down the line you've had to have had some really powerful mentors or family members that have supported you. Who do you feel has been really an amazing support that has helped you get along the way, or has it been outside the realm where it's been like a teacher or a friend or somebody like that that has guided you along the way?
First off, I would have to say my parents. First off, they're really behind everything that I do. Even if I switch in between, they're still behind me. Like, well, if this is what you want to do, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can go and do it.
That's awesome.
So they support me all the time with everything I do. Like, especially now with, like, school and me going out to New York every other weekend and going to practice at Foxwoods every other week. Like, they'll drive me all the way there and drive back.
That's amazing. You're very lucky to have parents that support you that way.
And, it's actually more of like a family experience also, because my parents, they've never been to Times Square. And I used to go 2 to 3 times a year. And now they go and they love it because it's like it's so big and there's so much to do.
That's awesome. So this is something that, in a way, it's funny because by them helping you, they've actually been able to expand and see other parts of the world or the country that they would have normally maybe not have seen right away.
Yes.
Now, my other question is, do you feel that you have other mentors that have inspired you?
Yes, Hadley Camillus. He was actually, I met him when I was 14 years old. I was in the Bruce Wells Upward Bound program, and I met him through there, and, like, he's on me constantly because we're kind of in the same situation. We both came from, you know, inner city, things of that nature, both African-American. We have some along, like, the same guidelines, like the way he grew up is the way I grew up, kind of, in certain ways. So he always, like, okay, it's your life. Start doing this, start doing that. Can't do this. You can do this sometimes, but, you know, remember, school's first. You got to do this, you got to do this. It's like the same.
So you actually had him telling you how important school was in your life and to be able to make sure that you stayed focused on the things that were important.
Yes.
Okay, now one of the things is that I know that I'm sure because your parents are so supportive, your parents said that to you as well. So what do you think made a difference when it was someone outside of your parents telling you that?
Because I was hearing it from them as well as him also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I know my father's probably going to laugh when I say this. And he's always right about this. Whenever they say something, you know, most kids, they don't want to hear it. But when they hear from somebody else, that's when it really clicks and dawns in.
So one of the things you just mentioned is that it's very important that when someone else says it besides your parents, it clicks.
Yeah.
Does that really get to the gist of how important it is to be a mentor to people around you?
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. It is. Now, another thing that I wanted to ask you about is, you're also a writer?
Yes.
And what kind of things do you write?
like spoken word poetry. I've actually been doing that since I was a sophomore in high school.
Right. And what exactly is spoken word for some people that might not know what that is for some of our listeners?
It's actually like a form of poetry. It's also a form of battling also, depending
mm-hmm.
on it, how it goes. There's different slams of poetry. It's formally initially you get 3 2-minute sessions to slam your best work back and forth at like one person or another group. And along those guidelines, and you can win awards, prizes, or you can just go to open mic and perform it.
Awesome.
I've mainly performed at open mics. I've performed at Clark University. I've performed at the Java Hut on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
I performed at Quinsigamond Community College, so mainly local places around.
That's awesome. So it's a way of expressing your thoughts or ideas in a way that can be shared with other people.
Yes.
Okay. Real quick for our listeners, if anybody wants to call in and has any questions for Willie, our number is 347-989-1473. Or you can go to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman, and woman is spelled W-M-N, and you can actually, W-M-N, and you can actually log into our chat room. If you have any questions, you can either call in or you can ask the questions on the website as well. Now, Willie, another thing that actually how I wound up meeting you is we were actually working on a project together, and you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, actually met you, Charlie, working on Wichita. We're actually filming in Worcester for once and have to travel far.
Mm-hmm.
We filmed up the airport, and you actually came up to me. I remember I'd seen you around before because you were one of two people in Army fatigue attire. And,
yeah, it was a weird experience. I will talk to the wall. It doesn't even have to answer me back. I will talk to anybody. But for our listeners, I had to tell you there was just something about Willie that touched me in a way that I just felt this amazing young man. And what got me most was his demeanor. I could tell that he was young. I wasn't sure if he looked young because I know I've met some kids that are 25, 26, and they look young. But Willie looked young. But he had it going on. He had his tie, he had his professionalism, and it was just an air about him that kind of drew me to him, to the sense that, say, this young man is going places. And, yeah, that's actually how we wind up meeting and talking. So on top of that, now, Willie, I want to talk a little bit about, because anybody can say, well, you know, he's got both his parents there, and what's the big deal? Now, you yourself said that you come from an urban area. Do you want to give us a little background about where you grew up in the area where you live?
Yeah. Well, at first I was born in Boston, but me and my parents were actually moved out here to Worcester, where we are now. And people don't realize, but living in the city, you actually draw a lot of heat, especially from other like cities, especially from other smaller cities around. Most people
mm-hmm.
think, oh, you're from the city, you must not know much, you must not know this, you must not know that. So,
right.
And especially being a minority at that makes it even a lot harder at that, especially to do different things of that nature. So,
right.
It does make it a lot harder. Like, at times, sometimes, like, people say, oh, like, I look so young, I'm like, oh, I'm not in school right now. They're like, oh, really, where do you go? And they'll say as if, like, you know, maybe, or they'll say, where did you go? As if assuming that I dropped out of school, which
exactly.
is which is essentially not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So do
you sometimes get the and I hate to say this because I like to be positive, but do you sometimes get those little ignorant remarks where you're in college?
Yeah, I actually do get those. And a lot of people seem amazed by it. Some people really do seem amazed, like people that I don't know. I mean,
right.
they're like, oh, you're in college. I'm like, well, like, I wonder if some people actually do read my resume to say where I'm at.
That's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, let's see. You're an actor. You're
yes.
a budding actor, and you're very good from what I've seen. And people can say, well, you know, you were acting. You were like, I mean, that director was all over you. He loved you, and he kept moving you around and using you. But so you're an actor.
Yes.
You're a model.
Yes.
And you're also a writer. You're a junior in college. You're a dad. And there's something else. Now, you talked a little bit about your profession to me. What exactly do you do for a profession?
Profession? Right now, I work at the YMCA. I work with children right now at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do enjoy it. Some days it can be very stressful because it's more kids.
I would not have a clue about being around kids because I got so many myself. So, yeah, I can relate to you being a little bit stressful.
Yeah. Like, it was very stressful tonight. Tonight we had lower number of kids. We probably had about 15 kids, but it seemed like there was like 40 in there, the way they were going.
Isn't it funny? Have you ever noticed that when, for some reason, you put like 5 or 6 kids together, and I swear to goodness, it sounds like there's 50 of them congregating, and there's only like, you know, not that many, but
yeah.
It's crazy how that noise carries. So
yeah.
What exactly do you do with the kids?
I actually work in child watch, so we watch them. Sometimes, like some nights, we'll cook pancakes for the kids. Other
mm-hmm.
nights, we'll play musical chairs. We have arts and crafts, things of that nature.
Oh, really? Now, is this like an after-school program?
Evening program. For adults that come with their children, they want to just drop them off here at the child watch. They can go upstairs to the gym or go swimming or whatever they have to do, except they can't leave the premises. No, can't do that.
Right, they can't leave the premises, but the kids are there. Now, what is the age group that you work with?
3 months to 12 years.
3 months to 12 years? That is amazing, and you handle these kids.
Yep, well, there's actually 4 of us on each night, but even
uh-huh.
then still it seems like, because like some nights we'll have like 2 kids who will be screaming,
yeah.
like newborns. Some nights, I remember one night a couple weeks ago, we had got 3 sets of twins.
3 sets of twins, so you have 6 little ones in there.
Yeah, and there were twins on top of all the other kids we had. Like one day last week, we had 30 plus kids in here.
Right, and you obviously have enough people for the 30 kids, but it's just about the noise factor and making
yeah.
sure that you keep them in. That's amazing to have the patience. And you're 20 years old and you have the patience to do that.
Yeah, I guess I could say I have the patience a little bit. Sometimes I'm like, okay, like I'll be honest, I do yell sometimes, like all of us do, because sometimes like they really do not listen.
Well, you have to because of the noise. I mean, you
yeah.
have to make sure that you project your voice so they can hear you. And trust me, I've worked with little kids, and I will be honest. I would rather deal with 50 kids between the ages of 14 and 18. You put me in a room with 4 3-year-olds, and I'm ready to jump out the window. Not because I don't like them, but it's
yeah.
just a very difficult group to work with because they're so little, and, you know, they don't understand. And, you know, when they want something, they want it now, and it's very hard for them to understand. Whereas
yeah.
a teenager, you can say, okay, cut it out. I'll be with you in a second. And, you know, they get it.
Yeah.
But that is amazing. Now, what life lessons do you think you've learned from working with these children?
Normally I bring my son with me because it's more kid-oriented. And actually,
That's excellent. So you get
yeah.
to bring him with you. Okay.
Yes, and actually he's learning to interact more with children and
mm-hmm.
things of that nature. He really enjoys coming here. First thing he always goes for is the cars and goes vroom, vroom. It's
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he's actually learning to speak more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Just by learning from what his mother teaches him, but also from here being around other kids and really distinguishing between items and what things are.
And you say he's 2 years old.
Yes.
That's amazing. So he's actually going to be—he's actually being ahead of the curve because he has the opportunity to interact with these kids and get to talk to them and really kind of like the little competitive things that kids get into sometimes. So that's a great environment for him to be in.
Yes.
Now, do you think that working with kids has made you a more patient person for other areas?
I think it has.
Mm-hmm. In what ways?
Different things, like I realize now that I'd rather, at some point I'd rather work with teens. I can have more patience for teens now than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Just by working
right.
with kids. So, yeah, but I've learned a lot of patience, especially now because I have 2 nieces and a nephew, and
mm-hmm.
My oldest niece is 4, and then my youngest niece is 1. and my nephew's 3 months, I believe, two or three months. So especially when she comes out here, she's normally like loud, and I'm like, Jasmine, cut it out. But now I realize that, you know, this is a stage that they're in their lives. So.
Now, I have a question, too, because I actually have a couple of questions that got emailed for me from some listeners, but I'll get to those in a second. But I have a question for you. Do you think that the fact that you have gone to college and are in college has made you be a better parent than, let's say, if you hadn't gone to college, if you had just, you know, dropped out of high school or whatever, and that would have been it? Do you think there's a difference in parenting skills or parenting abilities because you have gone to college?
Yes, I do think it's different because actually while I'm in college, I've met, like, other students who actually have children also. And we actually actually talk and connect about different things about, okay, how they do this and how I do this. So we actually kind of learn from each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you think some of the classes that are offered at college have helped? Like, I know there's a requirement you have to take psychology and some other classes. Do you think those have helped as well in your parenting skills?
Psychology, most definitely psychology, plays a big
yes.
part. Because sometimes
yes.
you really have to say, hey, go do this and I'll be there in a minute. But normally you probably know you'll be there like a half hour later because you probably have to do something else. But
right.
But obviously they'll think that you're coming right back because they can't tell time yet, or some can, but yes.
So it does help you better. So if you had a piece of advice to give teenagers or young adults that were in your situation where they were still in the middle of getting out of high school and thinking about going to college, what would be some of the advice that you would give them if they were in a situation where there was a child on the way or they already had a child?
Number one, you can stay in school and work. I've done it. I do it. You really can. Go to school, get your degree, because it won't only help you all, it also help your children's future as well. Like my first semester, I went to school full-time, and I worked 40 hours a week.
Right.
Sometimes I wasn't getting home at, like, sometimes I get home at maybe 12, 1 in the morning to go home, go to sleep, wake up at 5, put my son on the bus, and then me go off to school.
Right.
And then wrap up and go right back to work.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, repeat again. Now, one of the things is that I know for me, again, because I've actually been there, and real quick, in the chat room, guest 3615, welcome. Nice of you to stop by. One of the things that some people might say, yeah, but you're doing this, you know, you're going to school full-time, you're working full-time, and you don't really get to see your son. But the reality is that your son right now is so young that he's not going to remember as much of this as, let's say, if you tried to do it when you were older. So you're basically setting yourself up that in a year or two when you have your degree, you're going to be able to make a better living for your son. So what are some of the things that you would say to people that might think that you're missing out a little bit with your son and trying to do all of this?
Actually, just as long as you're around your child, like right now me and my son, we have a bond. Like every time he sees me, because he knows I normally carry a basketball with me, he'll go to my bag and say, basketball? And
right.
And he, last night he doesn't believe me, so when I put my bag down, he'll open my bag and look inside for the basketball.
Right.
So, like, me and him, like, we have a bond. Like, as soon as I walk in, he goes, hi! Like, he knows who I am. He understands that I am his father, that things like this. Like, when he wants something, he'll be like, daddy juice or things of that nature. So, as long as you establish a bond, a special relationship with your child, they'll never forget who you are.
Now, that's very important because you said as long as you establish a relationship with your child and a bond. So in reality, and this is, again, something that's very important for our listeners to remember, it's not so much about the quality of the quantity of time that you spend with your child, but the quality of what we do when we have that child and making sure that that child realizes that he's special and that you spend time actually doing things with him. And is that something that you found yourself doing?
Yes. Like another thing, when we come here, when I bring with me to work, I normally work at about 5 o'clock. We'll come about an hour early, and we'll go up to the gym. He can dribble a basketball with his right hand. It's the funniest thing. The ball's bigger than he is.
It's a riot.
Yeah, it's real funny. And, like, when we're up there, like, he hates to leave when we get up there.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll start fussing, but as soon as we get down here, he'll see the cars, and he'll forget about it.
Oh, okay, yep.
And until we leave.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mention that because my grandson, he's the same way. He's 15 months old, and you show him a basketball, and the kid goes just like, oh, he just, and the funny thing is to see these little kids, like I said, 15 months old, actually pick up a full-size basketball and take off running with it, and you're like, you're not supposed to be doing that. And it's amazing how here you have your son already being able to tell you, because you know him so well, the things that he likes, and for you to encourage him to do that as opposed to, you're too little, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Now, do you think your son feels, or have you noticed that he takes more chances and is more willing to learn new things because of your encouragement?
He actually does like to learn things. Like the other day, we were watching, he was watching PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they came on, he knew who they were, who the characters were, and I was looking at him, I'm like, why have you never done this before? And he knew, like, I believe it was Caillou came in at one point.
Uh-huh.
And before they said anything, he saw the picture. He was like, Caillou, Caillou.
And oh, my goodness, and he's 2 years old?
And he's like, it was Caillou. It was the mm-hmm. funny thing, like, he knows who Elmo is, and that's, I find that so funny. Like, your book, he goes, Elmo. So.
Yeah, that is amazing, because that's actually, you know, like you said, he's a two-year-old child, and he's already got that recognition, and that's just, that's a testament to the time and effort that you're putting into him, you and his mom as well.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is that I know for a lot of, and I'm going to go with it, the stereotypes. Everybody has the stereotype that, you know, African-American youth, they have a kid, they're out of the picture, and it aggravates me because that's not the majority. The majority of people are like you, and
yeah.
What are some of the things that you'd be wanting to share with our listeners to make them realize that that's not the way it is?
Yeah, you can actually be in your child's life no matter what it is. You really can. Most people, when I say I have a child, they're like, really, you have a child? Do you see him? I'm like, yeah, I see him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And people find that weird and amazing. I'm like, well, I see my child every day.
Mm-hmm.
And people just look at me like, wow. I'm like, I remember when I was in high school, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a kid. They're like, it's yours? They're like, you're gonna make him take care of him? I'm like, well, it's my child. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so it's funny when people around you feed into that stereotype that, okay, you have a kid, so that's actually the woman's problem, not your problem. And here you are, you're a stand-up guy, which is, you're doing what is expected in society to take care of your child, yet you're still getting that, really? And what are some of the things that you would share with people and telling them, why wouldn't I? You know, what are some of the things that you want to say to break that stereotype?
Honestly, stereotype is pretty much, honestly, the media portrays people what they want people to be, but you don't have to be that way. You can be whichever way you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, example, there's different examples, but like me, like, they like the stereotype of African-Americans, minorities of the fact, oh, they're in jail, they do drugs, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially not true.
Exactly.
Don't get me wrong, like, some are, but there are many other races as well that does the same exact thing, but they mainly
mm-hmm.
point out minorities, which is not the case. Like,
exactly.
Like, I go to school, I work, I have my son, I hang with him, we do our thing, I don't do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's actually... Mm-hmm. Honestly, you make your own choices. You make your own life. It's not who influenced you. Well, actually, in fact, it is who influenced you, but if you see the way things are from one aspect, you can make a difference. You can change it for yourself. Like right now, I'm the first in my family to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you have the ability to do that, to be able to change and break out of that mold and show people that it's not what the media says. It's totally different outside in the real world.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that I'd like to bring up, and again, we hear all the time that in Hollywood and in the media, African-American young men are usually portrayed as drug dealers, gangbangers, rapists, all these, you know, typical stereotypical
mm-hmm.
roles that are given to them. Yet, for the acting that you've done, you haven't been offered those roles. What are some of the roles that you've been offered, and can you share a little bit of that with us?
Well, in Underdog, I had an opportunity to be a SWAT team member, which was kind of
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my Best Friend's Girl, I was a college student. I was a Boston University college student going to class.
Right.
on Grown Ups, I was the big Afro guy. You know, but it's set in the 1970s, of course, I'm African-American. I was supposed to have an Afro. So that
right.
I can see fine and well. I kind of got a kick out of that. I have pictures of that.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Everyone gets a kick out of that.
Yeah.
In Wichita, I was the traveler. Just
mm-hmm.
At first, I was the cell phone guy trying to get a rental car. Then they changed me to a traveler, which they used me just about literally all day, every day, which except for like maybe 2 hours out of the whole 3 days.
Yes.
And then I actually had an audition last Monday for Social Network starring Justin Timberlake. It's a movie based off
mm-hmm.
of Facebook. I actually had an audition for my first speaking role as a Harvard College student.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think that you, an African-American male, those are the only roles you're being offered, yet other people of all different groups say, well, I only get offered this part, I only get offered. What do you think the difference is?
Number one is what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, let me backtrack. It's the way you present yourself, first off. Your first impression
right.
is always your best impression. People say it's always your last impression. That's nonsense. It's always your first impression. It's the way you present yourself, first off,
right.
foremost. Also, then it's what you bring to the table. Like maybe you've done this, or if you haven't, skills that you have, like rather be sports or different languages or specialty in accents or you know this or you know that. It's what you can bring to, you know,
right.
maybe enhance what they're looking for, or maybe you have what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's also how well you take direction. If you're not like how should I say it's like what's the word I'm looking for? If you're not a head case.
Right.
You have to be willing to take criticism and, you know, move on. You have to be willing to take criticism,
right.
but that's only going to make your work better to what you can do.
Right.
Like when
Go ahead.
Yeah, like when I did the audition for the Social Networks movie, all the criticism
mm-hmm.
that she gave me, I took it back and applied it, and she was like, that you don't see that often, that when someone takes like the criticism right away and apply it right
mm-hmm.
back to what you got to do. And
right.
she found that amazing. And like with me, I don't realize that I do things like that until someone tells me that I do it.
So it's kind of part of your work ethic.
Yes.
Now, where do you think you got that from?
I would say my parents.
That's a good thing.
They've always taught me like to take criticism. It's only going to benefit you. Unless it's negative criticism, but there's always nothing wrong with positive criticism.
Right, and to be able to make you better. Now, as far as your demeanor and the way you carry yourself, where do you think that came from?
That's what my parents, my mother and my father always say. At first, I used to hate dressing up in slacks and the shirts and the ties and the sweater vests. I used to hate it. I really did. My father would tell you, my mother would tell you. They're probably laughing right now. Listen to this. I hate it all the time.
I have to laugh because I've actually gone through similar situations with my boys where I'm like,
yeah.
I don't care if you're going to apply for a job at McDonald's, you're wearing a shirt
yeah.
and tie to the interview,
but,
and they're like, why? And I'm like, impression. It's you want to show people that you can carry yourself, not just as quote-unquote a burger flipper, because there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with working at McDonald's, but just the fact that you're hoping for more.
Yeah. Like, an example is like when I used to work here, working at the Y, during the summer I had my own office working on the fourth floor doing graphic design work.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I would dress up, slacks, tie, or, you know, like slacks, polo, shoes, come here to work. And every day
mm-hmm.
on my lunch break, because the YMCA is actually located in downtown Worcester around that area, but it's where
right.
a lot of, like, you know, like prostitutes and drugs and things of that nature are, like, around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd walk through and people would see everyone, like, even they all showed me respect because the way I was walking, had my shirt tie on, they'd same people, I'd see them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, you know, maybe they'd be, you know, on this or on that, but every day they'd say hi to me and good job, brother, keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, of them not even knowing me first off to say that, that's a sign of respect, and I'd say hi back to them, and that was just, like, it was just mind-blowing because, like, these people actually, they could be on something that could not, but the fact that they recognize me walking through here every day, wearing the same thing, they realize I'm actually doing something.
Exactly. And so it kind of comes down to your demeanor and the way you carry yourself. But by the same token, you have amazing people skills. I mean, you're 20 years old, and And, I mean, to be able to, I mean, I saw you. I was kind of like not stalking you, but we were kind of like the same scenes together. And one of the things is that I saw the way you carried yourself with, from the PA to the assistant director and other people older than you, some that were your same age, but that ability to carry yourself in such a professional manner, where do you think that came from as well?
I could say, like, the way I present myself would be from definitely my parents, but also from the way I present myself would be just from me practicing. I actually had some lessons in my Upward Bound program. We actually had classes, professionalism classes,
mm-hmm.
and actually how to actually present ourselves in that way, how to give people firm handshakes, look people directly in the eye. That shows
mm-hmm.
that you're actually paying attention, that you actually want what you're going for.
Right.
Also, like, it's cool. It's very useful to use, like, your regular everyday words, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
throw a different word in there. Example, like, belligerent, for example, which
mm-hmm.
is abusive or truculent. It's a word that can be used in everyday life instead of saying abusive sometimes. But that will show that your vocabulary expands farther than what people would actually think. Now it'll show, okay, whoa, look what this person
mm-hmm.
knows.
Now, do you think your writing has helped you develop your vocabulary, where you're familiar with different words and their usage and that kind of thing? Do you think that's been a big help to you?
Yes, definitely. Because with some words, I actually use a thesaurus to find different words that mean the same thing. Because
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, especially with poetry, depending on how you're writing, but I don't like to use a lot of the same words.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to better my vocabulary by that way.
So let me ask you a question for some of the listeners that might not know. What would be the biggest difference between, because you say in spoken word there's battles and that kind of stuff. What's the biggest difference between spoken word and rap?
Well, both actually do tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, like, I like rap. I'm not taking anything away from rap, like hip-hop, things of that nature. Like, I'm a big Kanye West fan, first off. That's
mm-hmm.
just me. But I know, like, the things with a lot of rap comes a lot of beef and violence, which is not essentially
right.
the same thing. It's essentially supposed to be a way for you to express yourself, this form, that form of something. So,
mm-hmm.
like, just in case, like, so, like, say in spoken words, say, like, you're going at other people's group, and
mm-hmm.
there's a word in, like, someone's name, and you switch it to that group, you know, and even though it may be, like, a form of disrespect or not, but they're still knowing that, okay, it's a battle. It's just all for the love of doing spoken word.
Now, why do you think there's such a difference where some forms of rap can lead to that so-called beef, but you don't see as much of that with spoken word? What do you think the difference is?
Money?
Money. So you mean the exposure that comes with it, because the
exposure,
spoken word is
the media, like the image that they protect, like the image, the first image when most people come in, they come from the streets, you know, gang banging this gun, I'll shoot this person, that, when essentially they know they won't do it, but they like to protect their image, so they're going to do it.
Mhm.
You know, first off, but like especially most people, they do it like the way, because the way they talk in their music.
Mhm. Right. So you think, again, once again, it's more of the media hype building the stereotypes and
yeah.
just kind of stirring it up.
Yes. Like, honestly,
yeah.
like, that's
uh-huh.
the way it is. And examples, like, people say fighting, like, honestly, I really don't fight. I mean, unless it comes down to it, you know, I'll have a heated argument.
Mm-hmm.
But fighting, like, if someone challenges me to fight, I just like, yo, I'm not going to fight you. Like, it's a waste of my time. When essentially
exactly.
it really is. And the person called me this and that. But the other people around be like, okay, well, he's proving a point. He doesn't want to waste his time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the next day, people are like, what's up? Like, nothing
right.
even happened the day before.
Exactly, because it's the heat of the moment kind of thing.
Yeah,
now,
like,
what do you think are some of the things that your generation, because basically you guys are going to be taking over in a few years, what are some of the things that you guys think you can do to get away from that media stereotype and to actually gain control again of your image and what the reality is for, and I hate using the word, because in reality by 2013 we won't be the minority anymore, we'll be the biggest group in the area, in the United States, but for African Americans to be viewed for what they really are. It's like any other race, Latino race, African American, Anglo. We all have the 5 or 10% knuckleheads that mess it up for everybody else, but everybody else, the 90, 95%, are hardworking, ethical people.
Yeah.
How do you think we can maintain to be able to get that control back from the media and show the true story?
They need to stop portraying, like, the honestly, okay, and this is true. Besides Barack Obama, the only way a minority can get on TV is if they killed somebody, if they got killed themselves. But
very
they don't
true.
Look at, but they don't look at the way other minorities are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like different things, like okay, yeah, they get covered by local magazines, but they don't get no legit press from like Boston Globe, New York Times, Telegram and Gazette,
right.
You know, Herald, things of that nature. So it's
mm-hmm.
basically the same. We gotta kill one of our own people or kill someone of a different race in order to find out, oh, that's who that person is.
Exactly.
Like
so it's always, do you think that's because we as humans are so morbid and we'll buy newspapers if there's a tragedy, but we're really not going to buy a newspaper that, you know, Willie Moore got a scholarship to, you know, some Ivy League school? Do you think that we have some part to blame for as well in that?
I could say that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like us all deciding what we're going to tolerate and not. Now, I have a quick question. Do you think that Hollywood has started to sway to the part where minorities are getting more powerful roles? I mean, if you see some of the CSI shows, the Law and Order, we see some of the new African-American actors that are actually getting parts that are, you know, police officers, investigators, all these things. Do you see lawyers? Do you see that there's an actual change in Hollywood?
Yes, I do. Actually, really do. Like now, like NCIS is moving to Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and I found it. I'm like, wow, they're casting LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm.
And NCIS, like now, Ice T is on Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
Like Omar Epps has emerged to be one of the premier stars on House.
Right.
So even though, like, they were already established before, but now they're even established more because they're doing other things besides, oh, I can do more than just movies. I can do more than
exactly.
just music. I can do
mm-hmm.
TV. I can do sitcoms. I can do this. I can do that.
So you think having people, role models like this, I got to pick on this one, Jada Pinkett Smith. I mean, she said, you know what, Hollywood isn't going to offer me the role. I'll create one for myself, and she did the show Hawthorne.
Yep.
So do you think that's going to be a positive influence? Because unfortunately, our kids are influenced by the media. Do you think that's going to be a positive influence for our youth to say, okay, I can do more than gang or whatever. I can actually look beyond that and actually think about a profession?
Yes, definitely. Because it's showing that we got to do more than just what we're portrayed to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more. Like right now, my mother's going back to school. Mom's
mm-hmm.
going back to school. My mom's going back to school. You know, even though it may be, like it may be years later, but they're going back
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, I can go do this. Especially
oh,
when,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, especially, like, if my son can do it, if my nephew can do it, my niece can do it, why can't I do it? And they're going back to school to get their degree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
showing more. That's showing more. That's showing initiative. That's showing pride. That's showing vice that, you know what, I'm going to go back and do it, and I'm going to finish.
Exactly, and you know, the funny thing is that I have to say, I had a friend of mine that she was in her 50s before she actually had the opportunity to go to college, and she actually wound up getting her PhDs, and she was an amazing woman because she actually was diagnosed with cancer, and she said to me, I refuse to die without my PhD, and she actually received her PhD when she was 61. She passed away shortly afterwards, but that was a goal that she had set for herself,
yep.
And she said, I want people to realize that it's never too late to go back and accomplish the things you want to do.
This is
really,
true.
Real quick, I have Mountain Man on the chat room. He wants to know, where do you see yourself working in a few years after college, and what do you see yourself doing?
I see myself actually working for like a top-notch graphic design company or
mm-hmm.
having my own business. I would actually essentially like to work for a company like Warner Brothers or Universal because I really enjoy designing like CD covers, book covers,
mm-hmm.
or things of that nature.
Right. And where do you see your acting career in a few years? Or actually in a few months, where do you see yourself going with that?
Actually with that, wherever it will take me. Like right now, I'm doing a TV show in New York City called Live from Midtown, the College Series. I'm an actor.
You were telling me you're actually driving all the way to New York every weekend.
Every other weekend, yes.
For this show, every other weekend for the show.
Yep.
And what is it about? What are you doing it?
Us actors, we actually write all our own material. We write all our own skits, all our own talk sessions, all of our own infomercials, things of that nature. We do all that ourselves.
Now, is that a comedy-based show?
It depends on how we feel. We can make it some part be comedy, be drama, be suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, as one of the models, we're walking, but we're also adding choreography to it to add a little bit of flavor, as people would say, to it.
That's excellent.
Then we also have singers, also people who are singing and rapping, and that actually, everything that they perform is actually all their own original compositions.
Wow.
Yeah, so everything's mainly all of our own work.
So it's giving you experience as an actor and as a writer and basically director, because you're directing yourselves in this as well. So it's giving you a lot of exposure into the arts on that in behind the scenes kind of thing, as well as in front of the camera.
Yep, and it will be broadcasted on Dish Network, Colors TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be live throughout the country.
Excellent. Willie, we are running out of time. You're so amazing. I didn't even get to cover half of the stuff that I wanted with you. I definitely got to have you back on the show. But do you have a website you'd like to give us?
If you want to get in contact with me, you can my email, wmore1989@yahoo.com.
@yahoo.com.
Yes. Or you can find me on Facebook.com. Name Willie Miles is my name on Facebook. It's my first and middle name. And I'm actually under the New York Network. New York Network.
And then the New York Network.
Yes.
And so the show, when is that going to be out?
It airs March 15th, first episode.
Of 2010?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So definitely we're going to have you before then so that you can give us some updates and let us know what's going on.
Yep.
Willie, thank you so much for being with us. You have been amazing. I have to tell you, after hearing about your parents, I'm going to have your parents on the show.
Yeah.
You know how they raised such an amazing young man, because I have to tell you, I'll even share this with our listeners. I told Willie, I said, Willie, Nick Cannon is going to have nothing on you, because I just see you doing some really amazing things. And that was just from his demeanor and his professionalism and just the way he carried himself. So if your parents are listening, I have to tell them, great job. You have to be very proud of yourself. You've raised an amazing young man.
Yep.
That I firmly believe is going to do some amazing things.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us, Willie.
Welcome. Actually, today I was actually signed by Hollywood East, which is a big step up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really
excellent.
Happy about that also.
Hollywood East is based out of Worcester?
There's one here in Worcester, and another one, I believe, down in Plymouth, near Cape Cod, around that area.
Awesome. Well, Willie, we're all out of time. Oh, there goes the lady in my ear telling me that I have 1 minute left. Thank you so much for being with us, Willie. And last shout-outs to anybody?
I'd definitely like to give shout-outs to, first off, my parents, Willie and Lynn Moore, my brothers, Jason, Jeffrey, Malik, also my son, Delonte, always to my son, to my grandmother, my aunts and uncles, if you're listening. Thank you for listening. My son's mother, Jessica. We're still good friends. We still connect, even though we're actually not together.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice Canty and all the people down at Hollywood East, and also all the people at my parents' shop, Worcester Body Works, located in Worcester, Mass. Junior,
mm-hmm.
Oscar, all y'all down there, this is for you also.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And for the rest of you, thank you so much for joining me. I will be here Friday with Carrie Sheehan at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope that you can all join us and have a great night.
The date was May 14th at 10 p.m. past 10. I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point, I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time. I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things. I could tell you gon' rise, because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe, because you smile so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a bigger plan. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, and your mom, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.